Welcome to Sophisticated Roth Conversion Strategies. I'm Bob Keebler, and I'm glad to share with you some of our latest insight regarding Roth conversions. Over the last 60 days, I've received hundreds of phone calls from reporters, lawyers, financial advisors, and CPAs across the country asking where the Roth IRA is going, who should and who shouldn't convert, how to get income below $100,000 in 2009 to take advantage of today's low 35% tax rate. Also, financial advisors, especially very sophisticated chartered financial analysts, are beginning to ask portfolio construction questions about where should I have my bonds, where should I have my growth stocks, where should I have my stocks that will generate good long-term capital gains. And the more sophisticated among us are talking about recharacterization strategies, including conversions by asset class and market averaging. And, of course, those that are very quantitative want to know who should convert and when it makes sense to convert. I'll try to pull that all together in the next 10 minutes, giving you a big picture view of where we're going with Roth conversions. Of course, I realize this isn't enough for everyone, and we'll be trying to help people more during fall with more educational updates. Where we start is you have to remember 100% of the Roth IRA is tax exempt. And part of the beauty of the Roth IRA is there are no required minimum distributions at 70.5. The problem today is in 2009, we're up against this $100,000 modified adjusted gross income limitation. And that creates a massive demand for conversions this year. But the problem is most people can't get their income below $100,000. Now, the three strategies to get income below $100,000, which I'm going to come back to, are financial engineering strategies designed to harvest losses and reduce capital gains. Secondly, defined benefit plans designed to eliminate or reduce earned income. And lastly, oil and gas investments, which step outside of the restrictive rules of 469 of the code, the passive loss rules, and stand on their own as a way of reducing income. For example, if you have a client that puts $50,000 in an oil and gas transaction, they're usually able to deduct $45,000 or $40,000 of that. So if you represent a retired doctor with income of $120,000 who just wants to get his $5 million into the Roth IRA before tax rates jump, maybe paying a little bit into an oil and gas investment in order to take advantage of the tax law and to be able to take that loss up front can make some sense. And we'll talk more about this. You also have to remember that once a person dies and their Roth IRA goes to their children or grandchildren, that distribution is completely tax-free over that child or grandchild's life expectancy. It's a very, very powerful part of this plan. Now, starting in 2010, this AGI limitation goes away. And when you convert in 2010, you're actually able to spread that income across 2011 and 2012. So if a person converted $500,000 in 2010, they would potentially pay tax on $250,000 in 2011 and $250,000 in 2012. The very important thing to know, though, put this in the back of your mind, is you can elect out of that two-year spread. And certainly if the tax rate is 35% next year, but 45% in the subsequent years, you would elect out. Now, where do I get to 45%, you might ask? The Bush tax cuts will expire, and the rate will probably go back to 39.6%. So that's a 4.6% increase. Now, however, we're also looking at the possibility of a health care surtax. No one knows what that's going to look like. Our congressmen and senators are working very hard on that. But we will have an increase, and we're going to have to be prepared to deal with that. We're going to have to know really what that means and how do we address it. And, you know, more importantly, I think you have to understand is what can you do to take advantage of that? How can you work your way around that? So what we're doing is a lot of people are converting this year. Again, they're using defined benefit plans, oil and gas, financial engineering strategies to get in the game. So where do we go with all this? Well, the one thing that you have to understand is there are really seven different reasons to convert to a Roth IRA, or eight different reasons. And many of you have heard these for years. Taxpayers have favorable tax attributes. Tactically, something is going on in their return that gives them a break. Maybe an NOL carry forward, an ITC carry forward. Something's happening that reduces their effective tax rate. Two, suspension of minimum distribution rules at 70.5. Remember, in the Roth IRA, I do not have to live with required minimum distributions during my lifetime. Three, It's better to die with a Roth IRA than a regular IRA when you're subject to estate tax. Generally saves you 3 to 5% depending on what state you live in. 4, if I have outside funds to pay the taxes, I come to you and I have $1 million in my IRA and I have $500,000 of cash burning a hole in my pocket and I say to you, you know, I'm 70 years old. I have never touched my cash or my IRA. I'm able to live off Social Security and my $100,000 a year pension. I'll never need this money. I'm an ideal candidate for a Roth conversion. Now, taxpayers who need to use IRA funds to fund their bypass trust or their GST-exempt trust, they're better to use a Roth IRA than a regular IRA. And also, what about a person that just wants to reduce the size of their estate by paying some income tax up front? That works. Now, point 7 is basically federal tax brackets are more favorable for married couples than they are for single individuals. And Roth IRA distributions won't cause an increase in rates for the surviving spouse. Now, I sat with a lady one time who, in her own wonderful way, was brilliant. And her husband had just died. They'd been married 60 years and since they were like 19 years old. And she said to me, well, this year I have, or, you know, I get to file a married return. Next year I have to file single. And I said, that's exactly right. And she said, should I convert to the Roth IRA while I'm able to file a married return? And, you know, that just about knocked my socks off because I had lectured on this and talked to and brainstormed with 10,000 plus people, and no one had ever pointed that out. And her brilliance was just beautiful because what happened there is it suddenly gave us another reason to look at this. So if you think about it, she has this year she's in, say, a 28% rate, but next year she's going to be at a much higher rate when she's single. So converting to the Roth IRA was a good idea. Now, take that for somebody with a lot of money. You represent a physician. He's 73 years old and he's dying. His wife is 65 years old, but in perfect, robust health. She's going to live a long time. To get some money in the Roth IRA before he dies makes great sense. So you have to think through that. Now, point 8 is postmortem distribution are tax-free. So what you're talking about is after I die, all the postmortem distributions are tax-free. And that is a really, really big deal. Okay, so that is a really big deal about a child or grandchild taking the money out over their life expectancy on a tax-free basis. Now, the one thing is about this $100,000 limitation. Why are we so passionate about getting clients into the game this year? It simply comes down to this year we have a 35% rate. And again, I think the three biggest, there's a lot of things CPAs can do to squeeze income, but the three biggest things out there with the 4 months we have left are harvesting losses, defined benefit plans, and oil and gas. Now, oil and gas has its limitations because of the AMT, but basically you can offset up to 40% of your income in round numbers without getting into an AMT problem. And, you know, it's something you want to get your arms around. Personally, I had a lot of help on this from my friends in Texas and Oklahoma, in particular Clark Blackman and Jimmy Williams, two fine CPAs, walked me through a lot of these rules. Now, in 2010, there's going to be a tsunami of income tax planning as a result of the $100,000 limitation. So that is a really, really big deal. So I think what we're looking at going forward is a lot of your clients should convert. They should convert by asset class. And what we mean by that is if I'm going to do a $1 million conversion, I'm going to break my IRA up into asset class and try to work this really hard because I know one of those asset classes will be up, one will be down, and 8 will be in the middle. But for the one that goes up, I would definitely keep that in the Roth IRA. For the one that goes down, I would definitely recharacterize that, not paying income tax on that, returning that to the regular IRA to come back and try to do a conversion another day. So we talked a lot about a lot of things in the last 10 minutes, but hopefully I've fired you up a little bit on what you should be doing in the next 4 or 5 months. We'll do more education. We're going to come out with some software to help you with this, but there's lots of opportunities, and early September here is the ideal time to get the ball rolling. So thank you very much for joining us today, and I look forward to helping you help your clients.